Mm-hmm. And I remember we broke up and I told her, I said, hey, I'm going to Georgia. I'm going to be a pro wrestler. She literally said, I'll see you when you get back.
Mm-hmm.
Brother. I said, whoa, girl, you better watch out. Cause like, this is all I got, you know, and I'm going for it, you know.
Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Is wrestling.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. I am Cody Diener and I am a professional wrestler. I'm a professional wrestling producer with TNA Wrestling. I am a professional speaker. I am also a father to four children and a husband to one beautiful wife, and I am a podcaster. This is my podcast. If this is your first time joining Wrestling is Life is Wrestling, thank you for joining us. And if you are a returning listener, thanks for coming back and supporting one of the more unique wrestling podcasts out on the market. Why is it unique? Well, because it's not even a wrestling podcast. I don't like to think of it that way. It's a life podcast. We are talking to successful professional wrestlers, but not about their favorite matches or moments in their career. No, we're talking about moments in their life, moments when they knew that they were doing what they were destined to do. How did they become successful? What life moments really meant something to them? And if we can pass on just some of those life lessons and knowledge onto you, the listener, then I'm achieving my goal with this project known as Wrestling is Life is Wrestling. Before we talk about today's wicked awesome guest, my buddy Heath, let me just tell you about something else that's wicked awesome, and that is my sponsor, Rest When Dead Clothing. You can check them out on restwhendead.ca or on Instagram at Rest When Dead Clothing, and you can pick up some sweet merch. They have signature series shirts by myself, but also, not just me, but my buddy Crazy Steve, fellow TNA superstar, as well as fellow TNA superstar Jody Threat. You can check out those signature series shirts as well as all their other merch, like I said, at restwhendead.ca. I'm getting some wicked awesome feedback from fans all over North America when I'm traveling and doing my independent wrestling shows. And I'm working the merch table, one of my favorite things to do. I'm a worker at heart, so I'm selling some Rest When Dead swag at my merch table. And every single time I do, I get two pieces of feedback from people that have bought Rest When Dead merch from me. Number one, they say they always get compliments when they're out and about in their life. They always get compliments about the design of the shirt that they're wearing. People are always asked, hey, what shirt is that? And they just get compliments every single time they go out in public wearing their Rest When Dead stuff. Two, and I've heard this numerous times over and over again, so I'm passing this on to you because I've said it before on the show, but I'm saying it again here because it's the feedback I'm getting. Everyone says, this is the most comfortable t-shirt I have ever worn in my life. So it's not Jessica Havoc who has said that publicly and said that to me numerous times when I see her, but it's also the fans that are getting the Rest When Dead swag. They're putting it on, they're wearing it around, they're loving it. It's their favorite t-shirt that they own. So go check out some of those designs over at restwhendead.ca. They've been a sponsor of mine almost from the beginning. I love my Rest When Dead, and I'm proud to be connected to the Rest When Dead clothing company. Other ways you can support me and the show is by going to prowrestlingtees.com/CodyDiener or go to cameo.com/CodyDiener and get yourself a personal video. Better yet, why don't you head on over to patreon.com/CodyDiener and you can get yourself unedited, commercial-free, full episodes, both video and audio of all of my past guests, as well as my current guests. Right now, today, we're going to be doing part one with Heath, However, if you want both part one and two all together, commercial free right now, head on over to patreon.com/CodyDiener and you can get the full conversation with Heath, as well as a bonus story that is exclusive only to my patrons over at patreon.com/CodyDiener. Go check it out. There's free trials. You can sign up, check it out, do a free trial, see if it's worth your while. If it is, consider being a supporter over at patreon.com/CodyDiener. All right, that's enough shilling of my stuff. Let's shill today's guest. We got Heath on the show. Now, I know that there's somebody out there listening to this right now that has a certain perspective on who they think Heath is or what they think he means to the professional wrestling business. What happens with a lot of wrestlers, and this has happened to me in my career, they get seen in a certain light, and then they're perceived that way by many fans. Myself, I first kind of got noticed on the mainstream wrestling scene as this wacky, go-lucky, goofball redneck that was a love interest of ODB and TNA wrestling back in 2009. Now, I like to think, because I did such a good job of that, that there's some people that just view me as that guy and will always view me as that guy whenever they see me on the screen or in a ring. That's cool. But I know, and most fans know, that I am more than just that, and especially anyone that's listening to this podcast know that I'm more than just that guy, even though I'm very proud of the work that I did when I was portraying that guy on television. Now, I know there's some people that when they think of Heath, they go, oh, that's the I got kids guy, the he's got kids guy, and he still gets he's got kids chance from his run that he had in the WWE, a very successful run, by the way. But I think sometimes when we think about performers, and Heath, I think, is one of these guys, and I didn't even talk to him about this on the show, but this is one of the ways that I want to put Heath over right now as an intro to our conversation, is that Heath is so good at what he does. He's going to make you remember what he does, no matter what it is. And even if it's something as simple as taking this he's got kids thing to the next level and selling a whole bunch of t-shirts with that phrase on it, that shows you just how talented Heath is. He makes you remember what he does. But I want to say Heath is so much more than just a guy that can bring a smile to your face and make you chant he's got kids. Even though there's people that try their entire career to find something that hits and connects with the audience, Heath's been able to do that over and over again in his career and has been a full-time professional wrestler for years in this industry, something else that most people cannot say. Now, taking it beyond his career, even though this guy's done some amazing stuff like Nexus, this guy's been on WrestleManias. He's traveled around the world doing the thing that he loves. Just that alone makes this guy special. But as you are going to hear and learn today, what I think really makes Heath special is the man that he is. The human being that Heath Miller is totally shines through in this conversation that we have today, because Heath is a guy that grew up in a small town in the middle of nowhere with no advantages, only disadvantages, and was able to overcome those disadvantages and obstacles and make it to the grandest stage of them all in his dream job as a professional wrestler. Heath is not someone who was supposed to end up where he ended up, but he did by sheer perseverance, grit, determination, a little bit of luck, and, as you are going to hear, some really amazing, inspiring and touching influences in his life. That's something I've learned in my journey, is it's not what we do by ourselves that make things possible. It's about some special people that come into our lives and help make our journey and our story even possible. that shines through with this interview with Heath. He's an awesome dude, a funny dude. He's the he's got kids guy, but man, he's so much more than that. And I also say this because of my perception of Heath, he just puts a smile on my face, and I'm always laughing when I'm around my buddy Heath. I've got to know him through working with him at Impact Wrestling, now TNA, but he had an awesome recent Impact Wrestling run. I got to know him over that run, and you just can't help but smile when you're around the guy. I knew I wanted to have him on this podcast, but I was not expecting what I got from Heath out of this conversation, and one of those things was some tears. I was not expecting to get as emotional as I was speaking to Heath. Man, I'm getting emotional again just doing the intro to this. I wasn't expecting that from my conversation with Heath. And I also didn't know before this conversation how much I had in common with Heath in his upbringing and his life and his circumstances. They run so parallel to mine. And after this conversation, I just felt so good. I felt inspired. I felt even more connected to my buddy Heath. And I know that somebody out there is going to feel the same way. And that's what this project, Wrestling is Life, is Wrestling is all about. So if you are one of those people that get something from this conversation today, please hit me up at Cody Diener on social media. Take a screenshot of this that you're listening to or watching right now. Put it up on your socials, and I'll be sure to share it with the world. And if you're even willing to follow us on whatever podcast platform you listen to this, please do that. Or even better yet, write a review, share with the world how awesome Heath is, how awesome this conversation is, and how much you enjoy this podcast. So without further ado, I don't think I can do a better intro than that, in really just putting over not just the wrestler, but the man that we're going to hear from right now. And that is my buddy. And if he's not your friend yet, man, he is soon to be your friend too. Let's listen to part one with my buddy Heath. All right. Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah. Baby.
How thanks you doing, baby?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for doing this.
This has been a making for what, 4 months now?
Dude, at least.
Three?
At least something 4 months. Like that. Technical difficulties. We've had your internet providers, my tech, our schedules. Hey, we're just two busy dudes making our way in this crazy life as dads and as wrestlers. And trying to get those schedules to connect can be hard. Trying to figure out this technology as two old farts can be hard, I guess, too.
All of that's not so true. Everything's so true.
Exactly. So, but we made it happen. I'm super excited that you're here, man. And you didn't hear it, but I just recorded an intro for this interview, and okay. I put you over for like 5 minutes, bro.
Baby, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, man, I just putting you over heavy.
So, I love it. I love it. At least someone is.
So I'll put you over heavy here in person. I mean, digitally in person, I guess. while we're here, the reason this has been 4 months in the making is because you're one of the first guys I thought of that I wanted to have on my podcast. Because this isn't like it's a wrestling podcast. But it's not, I'm not going to be talking about, hey, man, tell me about this angle that you guys ran and this dude you worked and, you know, what you're thinking about during the hot comeback. Like, this isn't, it's not one of those deals. It's wrestling is life is wrestling, because I know in my life, I see wrestling everywhere, and a lot of the things that I've been able to do successfully in my personal life, my family life, my business life are all because of lessons I've learned through wrestling.
Okay.
Right. So I see these connections all the time. And I'm someone that also listens to a lot of motivational podcasts, business podcasts. And like, I like to figure out why people think the way they think and why they're successful.
For sure.
And when I hear these things, I realize that's just wrestling. All the stuff they're talking about is like stuff that I've learned through wrestling. So I want to talk to people who are successful, and also people that I like and are my buddies. And I know we're just good dudes in life, mm-hmm. and people I've talked to about life, and you're one of those guys. You know, mm-hmm. you're a dad, you're just an all-around good dude, yeah. and you're ridiculously successful in this business. and I kind of want to I want to try to get to the bottom of as to why that's the case. And and maybe you can't I don't want this to feel daunting. You're like, hey man, we're gonna get to the head of Heath today
and right?
figure out all the reasons why, because I don't even know. When I reflect on myself and my story that I go around and share to kids in schools as a speaker, like part of that is me trying to figure out how I got to where I am. So it's kind of it's just interesting to think about those things. So
mm-hmm.
that's some of the stuff I'd like to talk to you about today.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay. So I want to start kind of from the beginning, and hopefully this information that I have is correct, because I have on good authority / Wikipedia
yep.
that you were born in Pineville, West Virginia. Is that true?
I was raised in Pineville. I was born in Beckley.
Okay.
But 30 minutes from each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I did a little bit of a deeper dive, because I'm like, Pineville. I've never been to Pineville. And yeah. I looked it up, and according to the reports that I was able to find, it said that in 2020, the population of Pineville is only 648 people. Is that true? Is it that small?
Brother, it's itty bitty, man. It is itty bitty. I mean, we've never in our life had a stoplight. It's always been a little intersection stop sign. I mean, it's, if you blinked your eyes driving through it, you'd miss it. That's right. How little it is. Yeah.
So I grew up in a town even smaller than yours, brother. So this is
really,
yeah. So when I learned this, I was like, oh dude, I love this stuff. Yeah. Because
so you get it.
I get it. So I grew up in a little port town along the lake, and it has like a population year round of less than 200 people.
Okay.
There's we've never had a stoplight either. No freaking way. There's some intersections in this little town that don't even have a stop sign.
Yeah,
it's just like, sure. Yeah, figure it out.
Yeah, make sure you don't hit everybody. Don't hit nobody, you know?
Yeah, yeah, just figure it out. So
so true.
Was that, so for me, especially as a dad raising kids now, I look back on where I was raised with so many fond memories and an appreciation for growing up in a small town.
Yeah.
What are your memories of growing up in Pineville?
Man, like literally, like you said, 700 people. Everybody knew everyone's business. You had one football league, one basketball. Like everyone knew everybody. Like that's just how it was. And mm-hmm. if someone got in trouble, it went down to all the families, and then it went back to the other. You know what I mean? You could not get away with nothing. Nope. I try to tell everybody, like, the way that I grew up, like my high school days, was if you ever watched that movie Varsity Blues, mm-hmm. It was totally like that. Like it was 100% like that, man. Like the towns would shut down for all the sports games. We would have pep rallies at our school, you know, like it would just be one of those things to where like I just compare it to Varsity Blues. And like, that's just how I knew life, how I was raised, you know, like, and it was just crazy to me thinking like you're saying that, like, 700 and some people, you know, in my little town. And it was like, when you lived there, like, you didn't really have a dream. Like, mm-hmm. you didn't have the, oh, I'm going to go and do this and do that. You either were going to either go to college and get a degree and go somewhere, or you were going to work on the railroad or work in the coal mines, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, it's one of those towns to where, like, you kind of, when you get raised there, if you don't get out, you stay there.
Yeah. I found, for me, growing up in a small town, I learned that small towns sometimes have small expectations, right? So like
that's,
you said, yeah, man. So it's like, you're just expected. Hey, like you can go to college, but nah, you don't really need to, man. Just go work in the coal mine like everybody else. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of it just becomes an expectation. And
oh,
if
it
you're
does.
Right. So if you're, it makes it hard to, I guess, dream big and to think about these other things, because as you look around, everybody else is like, oh yeah, they're just going to work in the coal mine. Like for me, we had a Ford assembly plant about 45 minutes outside of town. So it was just kind of like, okay, the expectation was you can graduate high school, but you don't even need a high school diploma to work there. So you go work at the Ford Assembly plant, you make $20 an hour, buy yourself a big truck, and then you got all the beer you can drink on the weekends, and that's going to be your life. Right. And that's what everybody did that.
Brother, same thing where I lived. It was the coal mines or railroads, man. Like, you know, we all had those dreams, but like no one followed them, you know, it was just like, and I believe that like, if you don't have, you know, someone in your corner, someone to help you, someone to give you motivation, give you confidence, like you'll just follow in footsteps like a soldier, you know?
Right.
Oh, I this is what I got to do. This is what everyone else does. You know what I mean? And like, don't get me wrong. Coal mining is good money, you know, but the lifespan there and how dangerous it is and like all that stuff, you know, it was just like, it's very terrifying too, you know?
Was there somebody that you had in your corner that was encouraging to you to make you think outside the box of just being a coal miner? Did you have somebody?
Like at the moment, like when I was a kid saying I'm gonna be a wrestler, I've been saying it since I was five, you know.
Me too. Just, 5 years old, dude. Exactly the same. Yes.
Yeah. And it's my grandfather's fault, you know. So my dad and my mom split when I was 2 years old. But my dad just never came back. Like, I don't know him, don't know who he is. Like, he's just a sperm donor to me. So my grandfather was in that role of like, well, shit, I got a grandson. He's pretty cool, you know. Like, I'm going to bring him in, put him in some sports, show him how to shoot guns, you know. And then I'm going to take him to see some damn independent wrestling down here at the fire department, you know.
Hell yeah. Okay, so sweet.
That was my grandfather. Like, he was the man, dude. Like, he was the man. I didn't know how much of the man he was until he passed away. Yeah. And then I hear all these stories. I'm just like, shut the hell up. My grandfather wouldn't do that shit. And they're just like, I was there, son. You know? And I'm just like, what? Like, just blows my mind the stories I hear from him. But no, he was the one that actually was in my corner, man. Like, and he's the one that put me in the corner. You know, he's the one that said, hey, kid, watch this shit. These people beat the hell out of each other. And I'm just sitting there like, whoa, this is so cool. You know? Mm-hmm. So he was the number one that was like in my corner. My mom, of course, like was giving me the toys when I was a kid and all this stuff. But of course I say I'm going to be a wrestler and they're just like, oh, that's cute. You know?
Right.
That's so cute. So
I think it's a phase you're going to grow out of is what they think. Right.
That's 100% fact. 100% fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course they thought I was going to grow out of it. And there was a time. All right, so I grew up always. I have papers from my teachers that me saying, like in sixth grade, yes, I'm gonna become a WWF superstar. I gotta find them somewhere. They're somewhere.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And my grandmother kept all of it. They just kept it all, you know?
Yeah.
So, shit, what was I about to say? Oh, yeah, growing up, so I started playing sports, man. I was in basketball, football, baseball. I had, like, a good little build on me. I was pretty decent at sports, you know. So then my buddies, we would always backyard wrestle also. So we had a trampoline. We had tires and mattresses underneath it so you won't bounce, like, everywhere, you know.
I'm so envious of you right now. Because I'm listening to you going, dude, do I live the same life on the other side of the continent than Heath? I played basketball, I played football, I played baseball, I wrestled in the backyard. But then you just said you had a trampoline with tires and matches, and now I'm envious. Because we just wrestled on the hard-ass ground, bro. We're just suplex each other on the grass.
Yeah, ECW.
So I love it. Okay. So you had this ring, your belt, you're kind of living these dreams on this trampoline. Sorry, I cut you off there.
It's great. Yeah, man. Dude,
I love it.
So like we would literally go to the dump and get old tires and get old mattresses, and we get, you know, the decent mattresses, you know. And dude, we put them in the back of my papa's truck, and then we'd drive it to my buddy's house, and that would be our ring, man, like underneath the trampoline and all that. So we had like four different names, man. Like I was Fire, I was Booker H. I know, right? I was Tracy Lawrence just because I like the name. And then I had like two more characters. I kind of forget them. I was a flamboyant Heavenly Heath was my name.
Dude,
I took my mom's old curtains and I put over me. And I like wore them out. They were like pink with white little tassels, I guess, maybe. On it. Oh, brother. It was. And we would go to the flea market every Thursday and get fireworks and stuff. And so we would, like, have pyro and everything.
Oh, man. Brother, that's next level. You got pyro and everything, bro.
Yeah. And like, I'm mad at myself now. But you remember the old WWF and WCW little titles, the foam belts?
Yes.
Okay. So I didn't know they would be, like, cool nowadays to have because I'm a big kid still. But we would take the plastic off of it, but we would get aluminum foil and, you know, shingles from the roof.
Yes. So we
would cut the shingles and there'd be three title belts, you know, but we would draw on chalk and then cut it out and then put aluminum foil around it with the marker being like TV champion. but we had the video camera champion, you know?
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And we would super glue that shit on the titles and come out like, you know? Crazy shit, man. Oh, but just fun times. But like, but in that time, I was like in the girls. I was making the newspaper, so I was just like, "Yo, guys, I'll try, but don't tell nobody." You know, like don't tell all the people that I'm over here wrestling you guys, and I'm Booker H, and I'm the champ. You know, so it was like I was kind of embarrassed about it, but then it was like so much fun that I loved to do it. You know.
Yeah,
so
I it was like that too, man.
It's a little teeter tattle, you know.
Teeter-totter.
I want to take a pause from our conversation to tell you about today's sponsor, CEOFit.ca. Their byline is simple: conquer, evolve, overcome. Do you need to conquer your next workout? Or maybe you've hit a plateau in your exercise game and you need to evolve. Or you're starting to find there's some obstacles in the gym that you can't overcome. CEO Fit will help you conquer, evolve, and overcome any obstacle in your way with their top-of-the-line supplements. Whether it's a pre-workout to help you crush that next cardio session, or man, you did crush that cardio session and you need to fill your muscles back up with some high quality protein, we got that for you at ceofit.ca. There's also creatine, vitamins, test boosters, seasonings, and syrups to make your meal not just tasty but healthy too. Oh, I can't forget, they're not just going to help you work out your muscles. They're going to help you work out your brain. They got nootropics for brain function right now at ceofit.ca. Are you a Canadian that you've listened to commercials like this before and then you jump on the website and realize, wait a minute, this free shipping or cheap shipping that they're talking about doesn't apply to me because I'm Canadian? Well, guess what? CEOFit.ca is a proud Canadian company, and we are offering to you Canadian listeners any order over $120, free shipping. Now, you U.S. customers and listeners right now might be going, wait a minute, what about me? Well, I got something for you too. It doesn't matter how big your order is. You might go over there and go, man, I need it all. And you get 10 boxes full of these awesome supplements. It's going to cost you $6. $6. Any size order anywhere in the United States, $6 in shipping. Not only that, American, with the conversion rate, any price that you see on ceofit.ca, it's going to convert it to US dollars. So everything's going to be even cheaper for my American customers. So you need to conquer, you need to evolve, you need to overcome. Well, there's only one place that you need to go, and that's ceofit.ca. That's ceofit.ca.
Because I don't know what it is. I mean, wrestling, it kind of got cool like when I was in high school, right, with the Attitude Era and stuff. It wasn't like you didn't have to be a closet wrestling fan. But other than that, like, few years, it's not something where you were like, you know, you could tell a girl in high school, hey, man, I'm Booker H the champ, and that's going to get you eight. It's like, no, man, you got to keep that on the DL.
You should come and check out my backyard bed, WVCW. You'll love it.
not happening.
No.
So is this what kind of led to you actually thinking that you could try to be a wrestler? Because, man, there's something about us wrestlers that just makes us different than other guys. Because I had guys that I wrestled with in the backyard, but none of those guys got into the business. But something about me in my brain clicked and made me think, I can actually do this. I'm actually going to try this, where everyone else is just like, what are you talking about? Like, we live in a town in front of with 200 people and we're beating each other in the backyard. Like, what the hell are you talking about? You're going to be a pro wrestler. Like, it's actually a crazy thought and idea to even think that that's even possible. But there's something in me and you that made us go, hell yeah, man, let's try this. Yeah. Like,
I think I can do this.
Yeah. You like, how did that opportunity even come for you? Because I had to drive 3 hours both, like, each way to a wrestling school to make that even happen for me. So how did that even come about for you?
Okay, so always just, like I said, growing up as a fan, backyard wrestled, collected the cards, the video games. Like, I'm just a fan, man. But I never was too big of a fan to say I was backyard wrestling type thing. You know what I mean? Because I was like, I was playing all these sports. I was into the girls and all this stuff. So it was one of those things to where I want to say right after high school, I went to college. But one of my buddies had a wrestling ring that he rented, and he put it in a fire department. And he literally, because we all used to backyard together, his name was Matt Hardman. And he was the first guy to ever have like an actual ring in his yard. His dad took telephone poles, cut them in half, two of them, cemented them in the ground, measured it out. And then they got tires and put all around it. And then it was like carpet, tarp and stuff. And they like tied it down. So it was like, that was like the first ring that I got in, man-made ring, to where I was just like, holy crap, this is kind of cool. Then fast forward a year, I'm in college playing basketball, but then I get this opportunity to wrestle at this fire department, and with my two buddies that I backyard wrestled with my whole life. It was a triple threat match. So Matt Hardman literally calls me when I'm in college and says, hey man, you want to wrestle? I'm like, well, yeah, of course. So I remember I came back home on the weekend, and this was before I made the ball team too.
Okay.
So came back home on the weekend just to wrestle a match, and my character was Dr. Love. And I know, right? And I came out to that song, to the window, to the wall, to the sweat drop down my ball. You know what I mean? So that was my that was my damn entrance music. Yeah. I came out in yellow bright pants, a damn Playboy tank top that I still have downstairs in my garage hanging up beside my practice jerseys.
Oh, and
a damn bandana around my neck.
Dr. Love.
Dr. Love, baby. It was, what the hell was I thinking is what it was. But it was one of those things that, like, I have the match on a DVD somewhere. But, dude, it's, like, so shit, man. Yeah, you can tell we are. It was like. We're kids. We never even took a bump, you know, like an actual bump. We're whipping each other off with the right arm. You know, we're too scared to go to the top rope, so we're on the middle rope jumping.
How many people were in the audience? Was there like a crowd?
It was literally just our family members. Okay. Like, it was literally my mom, my grandpa, you know, my cousin, you know, just friends. Like, I mean, no one bought a ticket. It was like an opportunity to have a show type thing.
But
it was just family and friends. That was it. I mean, we might have sold two tickets, maybe. Sure. I don't know. But it was like one of those gigs. But that right there, to me, I was just like, holy crap, this is so much fun. But I was like, it's just an afterthought. I'm in college now. So when I get back to college, I tried out for the ball team and I made it. So I'm traveling. I'm not even thinking about wrestling. I'm traveling and doing basketball and trying to worry about grades, which I've never been good at, playing basketball, this and that. Next thing you know, I flunked out of college because my grades wasn't, you know, up to par. Lost a little deal on the basketball scholarship thing that they little offered me.
Yeah.
Lost it, came back home, and I just remember – I drove home to my mom's work, and I walked in, and she's like, the hell are you doing? You know, and I'm like, I got kicked out. And she just was like, what the, huh? I said, I'm out of college. Like, I lost everything. Like, my grades ain't there. This and that. She was like, what the hell? You were doing good. I said, I was, but I don't know what to say. Like, pretty much. Yeah. I don't know what to tell her.
Being in college, being an athlete and keeping up grades is not easy, man.
Not at all, man. No, you have to be dedicated. Yeah. I wasn't disciplined enough then. You know, I wasn't at all. I was more worried about having a good time and playing sports than anything to do with anything I was wanting to learn. You know, that's just where my mind was at the time. I was not disciplined. I was a kid. That's it. Yeah. But it gave me the opportunity to look my mom in the eyes and be like, you know, and she literally said, well, what the hell are you going to do now? Go to community college, which she made me go to. For like a semester, like 3 months or something. And then I just looked at her. I was like, I cannot do this anymore. And she was like, well, what the fuck do you want to do? Mm-hmm. I said, I want to be a pro wrestler, mom. That's what I want to do. And she looks at me like I'm an idiot. Like, what the hell? He's like, think, really. Just think, you know. So I remember going to my papa's house. And I'm guessing on the way up there, my mom calls him and saying, oh, your grandson's coming up there. He messed up, you know, da-da-da-da. I get up there. He's just on the front porch, which he's always on the front porch smoking one of his cigarettes and just chilling like he would. And everyone called him mayor because he lived up this holler. He's the one that lived there the longest, and everyone respected him because I didn't know he used to be a badass. You know, he just showed me love, man, like pure love, you know, he got on to me to where I got scared a couple times. But it was one of those things where I'm like, damn, OK. Like, but he always showed me love, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, dude, I remember I walked up there and I sat down and I didn't say a word. I just sat there and I was looking off the porch. Man, I can see this in my head right now. And I just remember he said, so what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, man. I don't know. He said, well, what do you want to do? I said, I want to be a pro wrestler, Paul. And I always called him Paul. And he was like, really? I said, yeah, I think I can be a pro wrestler. I think I can do it. And he was like, well, I'm behind you on that. I think you can do it too. Mm-hmm. Brother, I want to cry. I want to cry right now.
Yes.
Oh, that's all I needed, man.
Yep.
That's all I needed. And when he told me that, I just remember looking at him being like, my buddy Michael Cook. I used to backyard wrestle with him.
Yeah.
My buddy Michael Cook's in Atlanta, Georgia. There's a wrestling home down there. I can get trained by this guy named Mr. Hughes. You remember him? You know, my papa was like, of course I know him, you know?
Yeah.
So it was one of those things like, I can get trained by him. You know, this is a school where a lot of people went to WCW, this and that. And my papa was like, well, let's see what it's like. And next thing you know, me, my papa, my mom, and my two buddies, BJ and Damon, drove to Atlanta, Georgia, bro. And at this time, like me and my wife right now, Steph, we were high school sweethearts. Mm. So during this time, we're like making up, breaking up, bullshit. Mm. And I remember we broke up and I told her, I said, hey, I'm going to Georgia. I'm going to be a pro wrestler. She literally said, I'll see you when you get back.
Mm.
Brother, I said, whoa, girl, you better watch out. Cause like, this is all I got, you know, and I'm going for it, you know?
Yeah,
but she literally looked me in my eyes and said, I'll see you when you get back. And I just was like, okay. Yeah. Little did I know that the fire and the determination and all that shit that I wish I still had in me right now was just, brother, like I'm Mike Tyson in 91. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to go and conquer everything. I'm a sponge. I am a dry sponge about to get dropped in the ocean. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I felt. And that's just how I felt. I went down there and my mom took a picture and I'm in like bullshit a white tank top and some, I think it's like black shorts. I looked like a basketball player is what I looked like because I was, but I'm sitting on the top buckle and my feet's on the middle rope and I'm just like all in. And my mom has a picture of me like looking at her and me just being like, I got this, you know, like I got this, you know? So I remember I lived in the damn ghetto, bro, like the ghetto, East Point, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Hoes, drug dealers, gunshots, everything on your damn doorstep, man. Like, what the hell? Like, it was that was the wrestling home.
Welcome to the wrestling business, kid.
Yeah, kid, you're going to learn quick, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Brother.
Dude, so What's standing out to me is it's so crazy when you look back and think, what would have been if your papa said, nah, that's not a good idea, Heath. Like, that ain't a good idea, man. But we don't, I don't think we give enough credit to the power of the positive words of a male role model in our life.
That you actually love and respect.
Yes. All these years later, you're saying that and it's bringing a tear to your eye. And as soon as you said that, it brought a tear to my eye because I get it, man. There's some, the power in that is, I can't even put it into words, man.
Like, you got to feel it, man.
Yeah. Fuck,
here I am crying. What the hell? I'm just always a sensitive fuck, man.
Well, we both got girls, man. So
I know, man.
That just it hits me different. And it's not even just the fact that him saying that made you go, okay, maybe I'll try it. Him saying that made you become 1991 Mike Tyson and go fuck yeah, I'm gonna fucking conquer this shit now.
Damn,
like,
right, man.
Right, like that power 100%. In that just goes through you because you got a man that you love and respect that man honors your dream and says,
yeah,
go forward. Like,
man, you got this. I got your back.
Yes, you can't underestimate the power in that. And if somebody listening to this right now, as a man with a son, or your grandpa, or you're a mentor to any kid, know that the strength in your words, just one simple, I think you can do that, can change somebody's life forever. It literally changed your life forever. If that wasn't said, we wouldn't even be sitting here right now, man.
Dude, you're damn right. You're damn right. Because if he didn't, he's just been a lot to me.
Yes.
Now that man himself, like, he was just like the greatest man I've ever known. Mm-hmm. Like, ever known, man. He didn't have to do half the shit he ever did for me. But words can light a fire that no motherfucker can put out, man.
Yeah.
Certainly when you mean it and you literally tell the kid, like, I got your back.
Yes.
And I preach that to my girls. My little girl, Remy, man, she's playing damn flag football with boys. And these boys are bigger than her. Mm-hmm. But I can be that dad that says, nah, man, these boys don't whoop your ass. Hell no. Or I can be that dad doing this. Hey, baby, you need to go out there and kick the shit out of these boys' ass. You know? And that's what I tell her. That's what I tell her. You know? Yep. Like, I tell her all the time, like, hey, take it to them. Don't you dare have any sympathy until after this game, you know?
Yep.
Like, and she is out there whooping ass, bro, to where I'm just like, babe, yes, like, come on, you know? and like, I feel like those words that people have gave me in my wrestling, like, even like Dr. Tom Pritchard.
Yeah.
He's like, him and Arn Anderson both are two men that, like, I cherish every word they tell me.
That's going to do it for another episode of Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling with Cody Diener and with my friend Heath. What did I tell you guys at the top of the show? Heath isn't just an awesome talent in the wrestling business. He's not just somebody that brings a smile on your face and just draws you into what he does on the screen, you know, when he's in the ring performing. He's an awesome dude. He's such a good human being, which is the number one reason why I wanted to have him on Wrestling His Life Is Wrestling before I even knew really the details of his story that I learned today in this conversation and has just inspired me so much and made me love Heath even more. I just wanted to have him on here because I know he has a unique story, but I didn't realize that it was as unique and really touching as what I learned here today in this conversation. So if you enjoyed this conversation, please take a screenshot, put it up on your social media, tag me in it, tag Heath in it, let us know what you thought, and share and spread the love of this project we got going on, which is Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling. If you
are getting to the end of this episode right now and going, man, that was just part one. I need to listen to part two. And man, I got to wait till next Thursday for part two to drop. Well, technically, no, you don't. You can go to patreon.com/CodyDiener right now, and you can get part two with Heath early and ad-free. You can get our full conversation. No commercials, no edits, no intro, no outro. It's there, the raw footage right now, early and ad-free, both in video and audio format on patreon.com/CodyDiener. Why don't you go sign up for a free trial, check it out, see if you like it, and then stick around as a supporter and a patron over at patreon.com/CodyDiener. There's also a really funny and awesome bonus story from my buddy Heath up on patreon.com/CodyDiener right now. Also, don't forget to check out our sponsors, some dedicated sponsors of the show, one being Rest When Dead Clothing Company. Rest When Dead Clothing on Instagram, restwhendead.ca. Pick yourself up some wicked awesome swag and super comfy t-shirts from myself, Jody Threat, Crazy Steve, and some other great Rest When Dead swag. That's going to do it for another episode of Rest When Dead. Another episode of Rest When Dead Clothing. No, I mean, I'm just hyping them so much. I'm used to saying it so much. Let's just say that's another episode of Rest When Dead Clothing presents Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. And before I go, I just want to say I've been doing a lot of indies recently. I'm seeing some fans that are really coming up to me and not just sharing how much they love what I'm doing in the ring or what I'm doing with TNA wrestling, but they're saying that they're enjoying listening to this podcast. So I appreciate each and every one of you that have come up to me and said, hey, Cody, love the podcast. Keep giving it to us. This isn't easy. I mean, I'm a one-man band. Heath was at a three-man band. I'm a one-man band when it comes to this podcast. I do all the editing. I do all the promotion. I do all the production. I do all the sponsorships, getting those lined up, making this thing happen, doing all the Patreon stuff. It's just me. It's just me, and no one else is doing it. So it takes a lot of time for me to bring this to you. And sometimes it's like, man, do I want to keep doing this? Do I want to keep putting in the time, you know, getting these recordings, doing the editing, pushing this out? And if you're a content creator, you're a podcaster, you know what I'm talking about. Some days you question whether or not it's worth it. And then you have somebody come up to you. For me, it's someone come up to me at the show and telling me how much a conversation that they listened to, how much it meant to them. And it reminds me, okay, that's why I'm doing this. That's why I started this project in the first place. And that's why I want to keep doing this. So if you have come up to me and complimented me and what I'm doing with this project, thank you. And I'm looking forward to doing more. And if you want to bring me to your wrestling show so that I can have more conversations like the ones I've been having at the merch table, then hit me up. BookCody@CodyDiener.com. That's BookCody@CodyDiener.com. I'm taking independent bookings now. And I'd love to bring my love of professional wrestling to your show. If you want to advertise on this podcast, get my kids to maybe read a silly commercial for you, or I can do it too. I do ad reads. I got different ways of I can promote your business through both my social media and my podcast. Hit me up. ads@CodyDiener.com. That's ads@CodyDiener.com. Or if you want to add a date at your school to my already busy schedule of dates that I have for my motivational speaking, I travel all across North America going into school, sharing my journey in professional wrestling and the lessons I've learned along the way with youth across the nation. If you are interested or want to inquire about, man, that sounds like an interesting thing for my students at my school, or I'm a parent and I sit on a PTA or PTO parent council at my school, and I think that would be an awesome idea. If you're sitting there and you never even had that idea till boom right now, hit me up. Head on over to chrisgrayspeaks.com. That's Gray with an A, chrisgrayspeaks.com. You can learn more about the programs that I offer schools, and my contact information is right there at chrisgrayspeaks.com. I'd love to work with the youth at your school or in your community and try to spread some love and positivity through the storytelling that I do at schools. Speaking of storytelling, we're going to continue the story of Heath next week in part two. And when you come back to listen to part two with my buddy Heath, you're going to fall in love with him all over again, and you're definitely going to know by the end of that conversation the same thing that we learn every week, and that is that wrestling is life is wrestling. We'll see you next week, guys.
Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life is wrestling.